I'd just like to share a couple testimonies with you, things that happened in our family this last week. First of all, when Samuel was born, he was born with no upper tear ducts, and his lower tear ducts were closed, and so his eyes watered all the time. He had no place for the tears to go, and he'd bat at them with his hands and wipe them away. And we had taken him to a specialist who put these little tubes in, plastic tubes, and he was supposed to keep those in for like 6 months, and then they would take those out, and the tear ducts then, and the lower tear ducts would be open, was the theory. And we took him in this last week to have those stents taken out, and we weren't looking forward to it at all, because we were going to have to hold him down, and we just thought he might react. And first of all, we had called our doctor and said, could we give him something to relax him? And the doctor said, yeah, we can do that. But then he changed his mind and said, no, anything that I give him would slow down his breathing, and we wouldn't feel comfortable unless he was in the hospital doing that. He was just going to be in a clinic. So then we had this idea we'd give him a sucker when it was time. We took that sucker and he threw it in the garbage. So we're all out of ideas, you know. We're just going to have to rely upon the Lord here. And the doctor takes his little light and he shines it in Sam's eye and he says, that tube is out. And let's look at the other eye. And he looked at the other eye and that tube was out. And somewhere along the line, Sam must have removed them himself. And I said to the doctor, I was really dreading this day. And he said, so was I. But he said, this is the best thing that's happened to me today. And we just thank the Lord that those were out and he didn't have to go through that discomfort, and that all of our plans, he made sure they didn't work. Because God knew that he had them out all along. Right. Amen. And then this last week, about 6 weeks ago or so, I'd been given a notice from the Wisconsin Department of Revenue that there was a mistake on my taxes back in 99 and 2000, and I owed over $2,000. And they told me furthermore that they received this information from the IRS and that I should expect a letter from them saying that I owe back taxes with them. So I was pretty worried. I contacted the IRS office and they said, well, we have no problem with your return. We have never changed them in any way whatsoever. I said, could you write me a letter so that I could send that to the state? And they did. And just this last week, we got a letter from the state saying that our bill was canceled. So I praise the Lord. That was two big things that happened for us this week. And then God is good. I agree with that song. Psalm 23. I want to talk to you today about Bible valleys. Bible valleys. Psalm 23, a familiar psalm to everyone. Probably the most beloved portion of Scripture that there is. Maybe John 3:16 might be equal with it. But Psalm 23 is the psalm that we usually turn to when we need to feel the presence of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or as the little girl said, that's all I want. Pretty good theology. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy, a couple of great companions, shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, how long?
Forever.
Forever. Lord, we just thank you for this psalm. We thank you for the psalmist David who penned it. But we thank you for the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who leads us and is with us continually, that we wouldn't have to fear anything that comes into our life. We thank you, Lord, that you protect us, you anoint us, and goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. Thank you, Lord, for your house that we come to now, but we look forward also to the house made in the heavens, where we will eternally be with you. We ask this blessing on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 4 is really the key verse today. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The thing that I want you to notice, that even in that valley, the Lord is there. The Lord is with us in the valley. There are a number of valleys mentioned in the Bible, but I think there are 7 main ones, and I want to look at those 7 main valleys today. The Valley of Sidon, the Valley of Eshcol, the Valley of Kidron, the Valley of Elah, the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Gehenna, and the Valley of Jezreel. We will look at these valleys and we will see what they meant in Bible times and what they mean to us today. But the thing that I want you to notice as we go through all of these valleys is that the Lord is in every single one of them. The Lord is in the valley with us, no matter what valley we may find ourselves in, no matter what valley we may trudge through, the Lord is there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Right. And he's there in every single one of these valleys. The first one is the Valley of Sidon. This is the valley of slime pits. This valley was the very spot where the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah sat. You remember the awful story in the Bible of Sodom and Gomorrah and their destruction. God looked down from heaven and he saw the wickedness and he saw the sensuality and he saw the sodomy of those cities. And he said, I'm going to rain down fire and brimstone and I'm going to destroy these cities. So God did. The slime pit was the valley where sin abounded. And so this valley of Sidon represents the valley of sin. It represents sin in our lives. The valley of sin. Did you know that when you fall into the depths of sin, even there, God is with you? Yeah, he's not giving credence to your sin. He's not there participating in that sin with you, but God still loves you during those times. And his presence is still there pulling you to himself, trying to pull you out of the valley of sin and out of the valley of slime pits. If you are not saved this morning, God is interested in getting you saved. He is there. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And he says, open the door and I will come in to you and I will have fellowship with you. I will sup with you and you with me. He knocks on the door of your heart. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you of every sin. No matter how ugly that sin may be, God wants to forgive you of that sin. He wants to come into your life. He wants to write your name in his book in heaven. He wants to make you his child. He wants to take you to heaven when you die. He wants to make you a new creation, a new creature. And he wants to send his Holy Spirit so that his Holy Spirit might indwell you. If you are here today and you are unconverted, if you're not saved, friend, if you are living in the valley of Sidon today, I beg you to come to Christ this morning and give him your heart. Come to him with all of your sins. Come to him just as you are and let him cleanse you of those sins. Let him forgive you of those sins. Let him make you his child. Make you a new creation in him. The valley of Sidon is the valley where sin abounds. Maybe there are some here this morning. You are in this valley. You are in the valley of Sidon. You are in the valley where sin is abounding in your life. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. God wants to give you his grace, his saving grace this morning. There's a second valley, the Valley of Eshcol. This was the valley that was located just inside the Promised Land. When the 12 spies were sent to spy out the Promised Land, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, there were giants in the land. Everything was big there. If you look at everything was big. The spies, they brought back a bunch of grapes. It took two men to carry this bunch of grapes. It was so big, this cluster of grapes, they would put it on a pole. And one man carried one end of the pole, and another man carried the other end of the pole. Those grapes that they brought back, those were the grapes of Eshcol. In Eshcol, the Jews faced the greatest decision of their lives. They had to decide, shall we go forward or shall we go backward? Shall we obey God and go into the promised land, or shall we disobey him and go back in the wilderness? Shall we live our life to our fullest, or shall we be less than we ought to be? The Valley of Eshcol is the Valley of Decision. The Valley of Decision. As you walk through the Valley of Decision, I want you to know that God is there as well. Joel tells us that multitudes are in the Valley of Decision. There are people today here, I'm sure, that are facing decisions. Many of you today are facing decisions. I want you to know that God is there in that decision-making process, and he wants to have you come to him so that he can reveal his will to you today. I know sometimes the choices are hard. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you with those tough decisions. Ask God to lead you. Do his will in the Valley of Eshcol, the Valley of Decision. And so there's the Valley of Sin. There's the Valley of Decision. God is there. There is a third valley, the Kidron Valley. This was also known as the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It's a valley that's just outside the east wall of the city of Jerusalem. It's the valley between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, near the Garden of Gethsemane. What is mainly located there in this Kidron Valley is a cemetery. Ever since the time of Josiah, it has been a cemetery. Some notable people are buried in the Kidron Valley. Samson is buried there. Samuel is buried there. James, the half-brother of Jesus, is buried there. The Kidron Valley represents to us the Valley of Suffering. Our Lord is there in the Valley of Suffering. If you are facing heartache and trouble in your life, the Lord is with you this morning. He's there. He's there. You know, as I look around, I see so much suffering in the world today. I see God's people suffering. And you know, they don't need a kick in the pants. They need a pat on the back. If you're here today, I'm here to encourage you. I'm not here to kick in the pants today at all. I'm here to encourage you and to say that if you are in any of these valleys, God is there. In particular, at this point, if you are in the Valley of Suffering, God is there. It's so easy to be critical of people, especially if we know that there is some particular sin in their life. How do we handle that? People are suffering, yet we know there's sin. We want them to get right with God, get rid of their sin. How do we act to them? Well, you know, if a child has a high fever, the mother runs to the child, doesn't she? Even if it's in the middle of the night and that child is high with fever and sick, the mom will run to that child. She hates the germ, she hates the sickness, she hates the thing that would wreck the child, but she still loves the child. And if you're here today and there is sin in your life, you know, I really hate the sin and I hate what the sin does to you, but I love you. And I wish and I pray and I hope and I ask God that he would give you victory over those things. I'm going to love you. Just as that mom tenderly watches over the child, we'll do that. God watches over you. He cares for you. He's tender toward you. And yet, if there is something that's causing the suffering in your life, something that you can do something about, do it. The Valley of Suffering, the Valley of Heartache, the Valley of Tears, also called the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Tears. They will come. They will come. If you're here today and you are suffering, you are in the valley, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not in the valley of suffering, someday you will be. You will find yourself in the middle of that valley. But I want you to know that when you get there, the Lord will be there. He'll be there in your time of suffering. That's where I like to laugh and I like to tell jokes and I do it once in a while from the pulpit because I'm trying to cheer you up. We have heartache in this world. We have sorrow. We have sickness. We have sadness. Sometimes we just need to be cheered. By the way, did you hear about the couple that recently got married and they were arguing over who was going to make the coffee in the morning? The husband said, "We're going to do this the biblical way." And the Bible says that you have to submit, so I'm telling you, you make the coffee in the morning. And she said, "But honey, it doesn't make any sense. You're the first one up. So why don't you make the coffee in the morning?" And he said, nope. We're going to do this the biblical way. And she says, "Okay, well, if we're going to do it the biblical way, let me show you something." And she goes and gets her Bible, and she opens it up, and she says, "Here, read this." And he reads, Hebrews. Who makes the coffee at your house? How many of you guys make the coffee at your house? I do. How many of the ladies make the coffee at the house? You make yours. How many of you don't drink coffee? All right. You are in the valley of sin. He's there. If you are in the valley of decision, he's there. If you are in the valley of suffering, he's there. But there's a fourth valley, the valley of Elah. You know what happened at Elah? That's where David looked out and saw that big, old, loudmouth giant spewing out his challenges across the valley. See, the Israelites are on one side of the mountain. The Philistines were on the other side of the mountain, and there was a big valley below. And Goliath was taunting out his challenges to have somebody come and fight him in the valley of Elah. David said, "I'll take that challenge. Who is this guy defying the armies of the living God? I'll meet him in the valley of Elah." And so David took his slingshot and those five smooth stones, and he went out there and he swung that slingshot around and he hit Goliath right in the forehead. Goliath was felled. That was the valley of Elah. It's the valley of battle. If you are in the valley of battle today, the Lord is with you. The Lord is there. If your enemy is pressing on hard against you, the Lord is there. We sang the song this morning, "The battle belongs to the Lord." You know that particular phrase came from 1 Samuel 17. Came from this story of David and Goliath. God is in the battle. He's there in the valley of battle. Are you facing some battle today? Maybe something is about to conquer you. Maybe some sin is about to conquer you. Is there some temptation that you feel that you simply cannot resist? God is there. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Lean heavily upon the Lord in the battle because he's there. The victory comes from him. Learn to rely upon his strength. Lean heavily upon the Lord. Listen, if you're in the valley of sin, he's there. If you are in the valley of decision, he's there. If you're in the valley of suffering, he's there. If you're in the valley of battle, he's there. But there's a fifth valley, the valley of Achor. This is the valley of trouble or chastisement or punishment. This is the valley where Achan was stoned to death. You know that story? The Lord had said to his people, before they went out and took Jericho, he said, "Jericho is mine." This was the first city that they were to take. The first of everything belongs to the Lord. And God says, "Jericho is mine. You can't take any of the spoils. You can take the spoils from the rest of the cities, but the spoils from Jericho are mine. You're not to have them. But Achan saw some gold and silver, and he coveted them, and he took them. He saw some clothing, and he coveted that clothing, and he took it. And then, thinking that he could hide these things from everyone, probably even God himself, he dug a hole in the middle of his tent, and he hid those things therein. The next battle was the Battle of Ai. Should have been an easy victory for the Israelites, but they lost. A terrible defeat. Joshua fell on his face and asked, why? Why did we lose this battle? Where was God during this battle? And God said, there's sin in the camp. And so Joshua brought all the people together and they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Achan. God said, take him out into the valley and stone him to death. They named it the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Chastening. Maybe you're in this particular valley today. Maybe you're in the Valley of Chastening. But even there, God is with you. Sometimes it feels good to get spanked. You might not admit it at the time, but sometimes it feels good to get spanked. I think most of you know my life story. My mom and I lived alone for a number of years because my mom and dad were divorced when I was just a tiny baby. We lived in a trailer park, and I got very few spankings from my mother. I could probably count them on one hand. But when she spanked me, the thing that really hurt was not that physical pain of the, she used to go get those tree branches, you know, switch. The thing that really hurt was not the switch, but the fact that the only one that I had was upset with me. That's really the thing that got to me, that hurt me. And she had ways of scaring me, saying, you know, you keep it up, that there's going to be a boogeyman to come and get you, take you away. But I was really afraid that she would leave me alone. And so I would get up in the middle of the night and I'd tiptoe down the hallway and I'd check in her room just to make sure she was still there. And you know, that's the thing that I fear when I sin against God is he going to be gone from me? Is he going to take his spirit from me? And so when he chastens me, when he spanks me, I really feel relieved because I know that he's still there. And I know that he's chastening me for my good. But what really hurts is the one that I love the most and the one that I need the most is upset with me, with God. But I am reminded of the scripture that he scourgeth every son in whom he delights in. If he spanks you, that means he loves you. If he disciplines you, that means he cares for you and he loves you. I don't spank other people's children. I'll spank my own. But I love them, and that's the reason why I spank them. And when God spanks us, he spanks us because we are his children, and he loves us. He has to take the rod of chastening, and he has to put it across our back. But it feels good because we know that even in the valley of chastening, he's there. He's there. Maybe you're here today, and you're being chastened of the Lord. Be glad. Because he's still there. He cares about you. He loves you. He wants you on the straight and narrow path. There's a valley of sin. If you're there, if you're in the valley of sin, he's there. If you're in the valley of decision, he's there. If you're in the valley of suffering, he's there. If you're in the valley of battle, he's there. If you're in the valley of chastening, he's there. But there's a sixth valley, the valley of Gehenna or Hinnom. It is, to this day, the garbage dump of Jerusalem. Back in Bible times, it was especially a big dump. And there were fires going continually in this valley. Fires going all the time. When our Lord spoke about hell, he used this word, Gehenna. He said hell would be an eternal Gehenna. And this was very, very picturesque to the people living at that time because they knew what this valley was like. It was an object lesson to them. They could see the fires burning forever, continually. And when Jesus spoke, he spoke of hell as being like that, where the fire would burn continually. The fire that would not die or go out. I'm calling this valley today the valley of death. We will all die someday. It is appointed unto man once to die. We will all face death sometime. But even in the valley of death, God is there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Death is an overrated enemy. Do you know why? Why is death an overrated enemy? Because even in death, God is there. Wherever you go, he's there. If you suffer, he's there. If you're tempted, he's there. If you're in a battle, he's there. If you have to make a decision, he's there. In death, he's there. If you're saved, you have nothing to fear. There isn't a valley that you will face. There isn't a valley that you would walk through that Jesus Christ is not there. And there is a seventh and the last valley, the valley of Jezreel. The valley of Jezreel. This valley is important because in this valley, the great end time battle is going to be fought. Russia will come from the north and fight against Palestine. Egypt will come from the south to the valley of Jezreel and fight against Palestine. China will come from the east to the valley of Jezreel and fight against Palestine. The Bible tells us that there the armies of the world will be gathered together in a great end times battle. In Jezreel is found Mount Megiddo, from which comes the word Armageddon. It'll be a time when the Antichrist will rule the world. He is going to be king over all of the world. But in the middle, while this battle is about to take place and the Antichrist sits upon the throne of the world, all of a sudden here will come Jesus Christ. To the valley of Jezreel, the Lord will descend from heaven with his own people. He'll come riding on a white horse, and he will destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. And he will be King of Kings, and he will be Lord of Lords, and he will reign forever and ever and ever. Even in the valley of Jezreel, the Lord will be there. I don't worry too much about the world because I know that if things get their darkest and their worst, in that great hour of darkness, Jesus Christ will come back. And he'll set himself up as King of all kings and Lord of all lords. How powerful is he? He destroys the Antichrist without even lifting a finger. With the brightness of his coming. That power that he has is with you in every valley. He's there with you this morning. When I was 9 years old, I said, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." I trusted in Christ as my Savior, and from that moment until as long as I live, he will be there. Even beyond that, in death, he will be there. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And his promise is the same for you. The moment you received him as your Savior, he came. He's there. He's still with you today. He'll be with you to the end. Are you in the valley of sin this morning? He's there. Are you in the valley of decision? He's there. Are you in the valley of suffering? He's there. Are you in the valley of battle? He's there. Are you in the valley of chastening? He's there. whatever valley you are going through, if you feel like you're near the valley of death, even there, the Lord is with you. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I'm not going to ask you which particular valley you are in, but if you find yourself in one of these valleys this morning, whether it be sin, decision, suffering, battle, chastening, or even death, the shadow of death, I wonder if you would just slip up your hand that I might pray with you today. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm in a valley. Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down. Praise the Lord. Lord, today we thank you that you are with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us in our valleys. Lord, you know which particular valley your people, your child, is in today. I pray, Lord, that you would make your presence felt there. Make yourself felt. Give the strength and the grace and the power that's needed while they walk through the valley. I pray, Lord, that in the valley this morning, you would restore their soul. May they know that surely goodness and mercy will follow them through the valley and all the days of their life. Lead us from victory to victory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.